Hey there, and welcome back to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Today, Rick continues in his series called Connecting with God, the Lord's Prayer. In this series, Rick shows us what it means to be truly spiritually connected to God and to each other through the power of God's love and God's Word. And jumping right in, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called The Prayer of Deliverance.
About a year ago, I got a note that says this: Pastor Rick, every morning I start out with great intentions to change my ways. I think today is going to be different. But it never is. Somehow and some way, I always seem to fall back into the same old pattern of relating to people and my old bad habits. Sometimes I feel like there's a tug of war going on inside of me, honestly. I really want to do what's best, but I always end up disappointing myself and God. Rick, I have tried everything. Prayer, resolutions, self-help tapes, even hypnosis. Nothing seems to work. Why do I keep making the same mistakes over and over and over? Why am I so resistant to change? Why do I do things that I know are bad for me? I'm really discouraged, and I need help getting unstuck. If you're honest, every one of us have felt that way at different times in our lives about different things in our lives. Because the reality of living on this planet is good intentions are never good enough. Good intentions are never good enough. If your life is going to change, if you're going to break free from the hang-ups in your life, from the stuff that messes you up, from the past and from your temptations and from bad thought patterns and all kinds of things, it's going to take more than just, well, I hope I'll do better tomorrow. And the reality is we often get stuck in this cycle of good intention, failure, guilt, confession, good intention, failure, guilt, confession, and on around and around in a circle. Is that the way God wants you to live? No. That's why you need what we're going to talk about this weekend, the prayer of deliverance. Now, we've been looking at each phrase of the Lord's Prayer in depth and in detail. And this weekend, we come to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, the fact is, some of you want to start checking out right now. So, well, thank God I haven't been tempted in 50 years. Right. We often think temptation is an enticement or a lure to do something evil, wicked, mean, bad, and nasty. The really bad stuff, murder, and adultery, and fornication, all of these different sins that other people do. And we tend to think that temptation is just about the big things in life, the forbidden, the evil things in life. But actually, I've found that Satan is much more subtle in my life. And some of those things, I'm not tempted to murder anybody. I'm just not. And you can train your mind to think in certain ways that certain things just don't tempt you anymore, like they used to in hard ways. But I made a list off of the top of my head of what I call the subtle temptation. I don't know if any of you deal with any of these, but I do. Number one, the temptation to do what works. Not necessarily the right thing, but what works. The temptation to do what's easy. Like when you're a parent and you set your kid down in front of the television and let them babysit. And 1,000 other ways we do what's easy. The temptation to do what's quick. The temptation to do what works in the short run. The temptation to do what is self-serving or best for me. I find myself often tempted by the temptation to do what's unimportant. To not do what really matters in life, the essential things in life, but to do stuff that, why am I doing this? Why am I frittering away my time, procrastinating? I'm doing the unimportant. The temptation to do what I've always done. The temptation to do what's right for the wrong reason. The temptation to do nothing. When you see something, you think, I know I could help that person. I know I could help in that situation. I know I could do that. But you don't do anything. When you see the poor, or you see the sick, or you see the needy. The truth is, temptation's a lot more subtle than we think it is. But the answer to the temptations that we experience in life is this verse, which is the prayer of deliverance. And the prayer of deliverance always leads us to the path of escape. Now, Jesus said, you are to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. We've looked at that the last 2 weeks. And he says, lead us not into temptation. Now, if we didn't give in to temptation, we wouldn't have to worry about the two sentences before. The sins, the guilt, and the resentment. We wouldn't have to worry about that one. But God says that the prayer of deliverance is the path of escape. And what is the path of escape? I want you to take your outline, and I want you to read this verse with me. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. Read it with me. The temptations that come into your life are no different from what others experience. Okay, stop right there. If you say, nobody knows what I'm going through, you're wrong. The temptations that come your way are no different from what others experience. We all have the same basic temptations in life. You are not unique in the fact that you're tempted. Some of your temptations are more unique, but temptation is not unique. We all get tempted, and they're not any different. And then he says, and, read it with me, God is faithful. He will keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand up against it. Now, let me stop right there. When you say, it was so strong, I just had to give in, then you are calling God a liar. Because God says, I will always make a way out. I will never put more on you, or I will never allow more on you than I put in you to bear it up. And when somebody says, I just couldn't help myself, they're not telling the truth. Because the truth is, temptation is a choice. And you only do what you choose to do. So don't blame anybody else. Temptation is a choice to do right or do wrong. And he says, God will keep the temptation from becoming so strong you can't stand up against it. And then read the rest with me. And when you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you will not give in to it. Now I want you to circle, show you a way out. Because this weekend, we're going to look at the way out. Number one, the first step on the path to escape from the prayer of deliverance, as the Bible teaches, is first I have to identify what makes me vulnerable. I must identify what makes me vulnerable. Now notice I didn't say identify what tempts you. You already know what tempts you. What you may have never really thought through is what causes me to be tempted by that? What makes me vulnerable to that temptation? What makes me weak? What makes me susceptible? And more important than knowing what tempts you is knowing the when, why, how, where, and all the other factors that go into that temptation if you're serious about permanent life change. Now, Jesus said this in Matthew 26, 41. He says, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. In other words, you may be willing, you may want to overcome your temptation, but willpower is not enough. The spirit is willing. Have you learned that willpower is not enough? It'll work for a while, but after a while you get tired and willpower burns out. No lasting change ever happens with willpower. I'm gonna lose weight. I'm gonna stop smoking. I'm gonna whatever. Well, yeah, you can force yourself for a while, but as soon as you get tired, the will poops out. So he says, The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Now he says, watch and pray. Circle both of those. You can't just pray. You have to watch. So when Jesus says, as you are to pray, lead us not into temptation, he's even saying, that's not enough. It's important to pray the prayer of deliverance. But besides praying, you also have to do some watching. And what is he saying you need to watch for? You need to watch for the circumstances that make you vulnerable. You need to identify those and work with them. Now let me explain what I'm talking about. If you've been around Saddleback for any length of time, you know that the Bible teaches that every human being is unique. There's nobody in the world like you. You have a unique thumbprint, a unique eye print, a unique voice print. You have a unique heartbeat. You have a unique footprint. Everything about you is unique. God never makes copies. He never makes clones. He will never make anybody like you before you or after you. And we call this your shape. In class 301, we teach about your spiritual gift, your heart, your abilities, your personality, your experiences, the five things that make you you. We've got a whole class on that, class 301, on understanding your uniqueness. Now, what you may have never really realized is we talk about God shaped you for ministry, God shaped you for mission. It's going to affect everything. Your shape also affects what tempts you. Your shape determines what tempts you. It's why some things tempt you and don't tempt other people. Why some things that tempt other people don't tempt you. You have a unique susceptibility to temptation based on your shape. Your personality, your experiences, your DNA, all that kind of stuff. Certain situations tempt you and others don't. And some of them just really get to you. And some of them you can just blow off. And some things entice you and lure you in, and others bore you to tears and have no effect on you. So where does that come from? Where do the temptations in your life come from? Well, some are caused by nature, your own sin nature, and some are caused by nurture, the way you grew up. And if you grew up in a house that was prone to blow up in anger, you probably learned that pattern. If you grew up in a house where you learned to stuff your emotions, that's the pattern you learned. So some temptations are by nature and some are by nurture. Some are caused by your DNA and some are caused by your environment. Some are caused by your character and some are caused by your circumstance. What am I saying is this. You don't get to choose your temptations. You don't get to choose them. The things that really tempt you, sorry, it's just part of the negative side of your shape. Now, what does that mean? Well, the implication of that is you cannot be self-righteous about anybody else's temptation. And you can't be self-righteous about your own and what does tempt you and what doesn't. And so when you see somebody who's tempted by drugs, or you see somebody who's tempted by gossip, or you see somebody who's tempted by pornography, or you see somebody who's tempted to overeat, really it doesn't matter where that temptation comes from. From DNA, from genes, from nature, from nurture, from environment, from choices, from circumstances. All of those things fit into that. But the fact is they're all the same thing. And one is no better or less evil than the other. They're all, the Bible says, sin is sin. So we have no right to judge and say, well, my sins are okay, yours are nasty. You know, how could anybody do that? Okay. Now, what I'm saying is that you have a pattern of vulnerability, and you better figure out what it is, because I want to tell you for sure, Satan knows what it is. Satan knows your vulnerable points, and he's plotting the moment you wake up. If you wake up in the morning, you don't hit Satan face on, just means you're headed the same direction. So you identify your pattern. You identify what makes you vulnerable. Now, to get specific, let me give you five questions you need to ask yourself. First, you need to ask yourself, when am I most tempted? When am I most tempted? In other words, what day of the week? You're going to find some days of the week you're more tempted about things than others, like on Mondays, or on Fridays, or on Sundays. maybe a certain time of the day. Maybe you're more tempted in the morning or at lunch or early or late afternoon. Maybe you're tempted when everybody else is in bed. You know, you need to figure out when are you most tempted. You know, I can handle any diet till noon. I mean, that's nothing. It's the hours between about 6 o'clock and midnight. That's my pattern of temptation. It's when I want to eat everything in the refrigerator and buy an extra refrigerator. Now, I could go out and blame my genes and say, you know what? I just came from an obese family. Well, just because it's genetic in me doesn't mean it's right or it's healthy. No, it is not. It is not. And so you have to say, when am I most tempted? You need to ask where. Where am I most tempted? Some of you are most tempted at work. Some of you are most tempted at your neighbor's house because of your neighbor. When my neighbors come over to my house, they just get so tempted. Maybe you get tempted in the kitchen. You need to know where you get tempted. Do you get tempted at 7-Elevens? Do you get tempted at a sports bar? Do you get tempted at the beach? A lot of you get tempted in front of a computer. You need to know your area of vulnerability. When am I most tempted? Where am I most tempted? Then number three, who? Who is with me when I'm most tempted? You need to know your pattern of vulnerability. Who is with me? Am I most tempted when I'm alone? Am I most tempted when I'm with friends who lead me in the wrong direction? You know, you can't soar with the eagles if you're flying with the turkeys. Am I most tempted when I'm with my coworkers and I think they're a bunch of jerks? Or am I tempted when I'm with a crowd of strangers and I think nobody would know me? Am I tempted with my family to say things to my family I would never say to anybody else? You need to figure this out. This is your pattern. Identify what makes me vulnerable. When, where, who. Number four is what. What temporary benefit do I get if I give in to the temptation? There's always a payoff. You know, the Bible even says that. The Bible says there is pleasure in sin. It just says there's pleasure in sin for a season. In other words, it doesn't last. You have your kicks, then you get the kickbacks. Folks, let's just admit it. Sin's fun. It's fun. If it were miserable, nobody'd do it. Okay, let's just admit this, all right? Sin is fun. And the Bible says that. The Bible says disobeying God is a whole lot of fun. Doing the wrong thing is a whole lot of fun. There is pleasure in sin for a season. So what is the temporary benefit I give in when I give in to temptation? Do I get comfort? Do I get excitement? Do I get joy? Do I get pleasure? Do I get a false sense of confidence? You need to know, what's the payoff when I do this? And then the fifth thing you need to ask is how. How do I feel right before I'm tempted? Right before I'm tempted. You need to know what your emotional triggers are. You need to know what makes you vulnerable. Is it frustration and then all of a sudden you get tempted? Is it stress you get tempted? Is it when you're bored you get tempted? When you're lonely you get tempted? When you can't sleep at night you get tempted? You need to know these things. Step one, identify what makes me vulnerable. Watch. Don't just pray. Watch and pray.
You know, sometimes the most important role you can play in the life of a child is teaching them to trust God through prayer. Yeah, we believe it's the key to living with hope. Jesus said this: we should always pray and never give up. That's why it's so important to strengthen the hope of children by introducing them to Jesus' model for prayer at a very early age. So now, we're so excited to tell you about a very special resource to help you do just that. It's called The Lord's Prayer, Words of Hope and Happiness. This book brings the poetic scripture from the King James Version alive for readers young and old, and you'll find thoughtful insights from New York Times bestselling author, Pastor Rick Warren, and stunning illustrations by award-winning artist, Richard Jesse Watson. This will become a meaningful bedtime ritual, a treasured memory, and a lasting legacy that bears good fruit for generations to come. Be sure to request your copy of the book, The Lord's Prayer, Words of Hope and Happiness, today when you give a gift to help take the life-transforming Word of God to the world through Daily Hope. This is our way of saying thanks so much for your support of this ministry. Just go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can just text the word HOPE to 70309. That's the word HOPE to 70309. And thank you so much for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope really helps us share the hope of Christ with people all over the world. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.